This is the first episode of a series about the Netflix production of The Three-Body Problem. There will be medium-level spoilers. So if that's something that bothers you, move on and find a different episode of Sci-Fi Thoughts, like maybe Foundation series. So today I'm talking to Mark Eade, science fiction fan, and we're talking about the three-body problem. It sounds like it should be a murder mystery, Mark. Three bodies? What's going on?
Yeah, no, I've never had a three-body problem before. But.
You know, one body, sure, that happens to everyone. But,
I have that all the time. But sometimes it's too much.
Yeah. It's like irresponsible.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch the trailer, it certainly looks like a murder mystery. You know, scientists are dying.
I've never seen. Oh, that's a good point. And there is a detective-y kind of guy there.
It's a detective show. why is I'm a sci-fi podcast?
And we're going to lie to everyone and tell them about a detective podcast, which it actually technically, you know, it does start with a murder. So yeah, no, I could see that. So, you know, maybe we should introduce folks to this, what is the three-body problem, like super big picture, like some dude in China wrote it.
Yep. It's a series of books written in Chinese by an author named Liu Cixin. It was written in about 2007, and it won the Hugo Award in that year. So it was the first Chinese book to win the Hugo Award.
And I was in China when that happened, and I was thinking about traveling to the Hugo Awards because it was in Australia that year, which is pretty close. And I have a friend also who won a Hugo Award who was telling me about it, and he's going to go there. And I thought, oh gosh, I should go. And there was some problem, and I don't remember if it's because I just had a child. Let's see, what year did you say it is? 2007?
2007.
No, that's not that then. What was my... No. Oh, okay. Right. But he didn't win the Hugo Award in 2007. That's the problem. Yeah. Yeah.
It was 2008. Yeah. I think he won.
Going to say later.
Oh, no. It was after it was translated, I think, that he
probably
won. Yeah.
Because nobody's going to. By the way, the Hugo Award's voted by fans. So you have to
take it with a grain of salt.
Well, you could say that. But the main thing is if it's written in a foreign language, the voters are probably reading English, though there's nothing stopping them from filling out a ballot.
I don't know when it was translated, but I hear that the translation's pretty good compared to the original as well. Like it carries a lot of, a lot of people are big fans of the translation too. So,
yeah, like folks, if you remember Isaac Asimov and Heinlein and some of those other Golden Age authors, they're kind of a little dry in the characterization, and especially Isaac Asimov. He's all about the science. Give me the science. I'm going to tell you about the science. I'm going to teach you about the science.
I'm a huge Asimov fan, so that's why I think I'm also a huge three-body fan.
Yeah, well, you haven't read the original text, so you don't know. You read the translated text, which is the translator was skillful at creating more three-dimensional characters. And do you happen to know the name of the translator?
Ken Liu.
There we are. Who lives in Boston, or at least last I know, he's from Boston.
Yeah, this series is a lot like those authors, like Asimov. The writer, not very great at characterization, bad at writing women. The language isn't very poetic or anything, but he has good science concepts, and he just gives you the science. So
he's a computer scientist. Well, he's one of us, bro. Multiple, at least like 20 years, I believe, something like that. So he's a analytical dude.
So I guess that's why he turns everything into a computer.
It could be. right.
It's like humans, they can be computers. Protons, they can be computers.
So Mark, what about spoilers? Are we talking spoilers today?
Yeah, I think so. We have a lot to talk about, and I don't know how much we can talk about if it's not spoilers, but we'll keep it to a minimum. We'll keep it to Netflix spoilers.
Oh, there
Netflix
is.
And first book spoilers, I think.
Yeah, so if you don't want to be spoiled, you better go watch something else, like maybe The Three Body Problem on Netflix. Otherwise, listen to us walk through it, because quite frankly, Mark, I wouldn't have seen the series because I needed to be spoiled, because I had a negative impression of the author and his text. Because when I was in China and he won, I was reading the excerpt, and the excerpt was the scene of the Cultural Revolution scene, which I read and I go like, oh man, this is so cliche. It's very typical. Like, and it, which was shocking to me, like, why would an author write cliche about his own culture? But and that, number one, that turned me away. And then I asked my other friends who read a lot of books, and they say no, they passed on it as well. And then I got mad at the author because he didn't go to Australia to get his own Hugo Award, because guess what, Mark? It was a giant, big controversy, at least for him, but not for me.
Really? What was it?
His kid was starting first grade, I believe. It's starting school, so it interfered with taking his kid to school. And I thought, oh my God, can you disappoint me further? You can't take a little bit of a break for yourself, from your family, to go get the biggest, most prestigious award in science fiction? What the hell? So I was pissed off. As an author, I thought, that is insane.
He has his priorities, I guess. I mean, to be honest, I feel like he's an author second, right? Like, he only has a handful of books, and this is like the only book he has that's actually like a full book. Everything else is like short stories and stuff that he wrote for magazines. He also wrote Wandering Earth, in case you know that's that was a big Chinese production recently, the movie. So, but that's like a less than 100 page like short story, and so this is like his only series that's like a full series. So that's how you got. Well, how did you end up watching it then?
Well, that was an accident. Mark said, "Hey, we should do a show about this." And I was looking at the other shows, and I noticed that one of the top 10 show, popular listen to shows on Sci-Fi Thoughts is the Foundation trilogy, Foundation series. I'm sorry, and not the Foundation series. No, the on that one. And so I thought, well, this would be a good idea. And it's going to be kind of a hot thing because everybody's talking to it. Like, there's people who haven't been to China or know much about China are talking about this book. So that's something there. And so I watched a YouTube video that spoiled the books for me, which is great because I wanted to be spoiled. I didn't want to like have to work hard to learn if this is going to be a good thing to
learn. I mean, it's slow to start. I mean, everything but the Netflix show is very slow to start it, so a lot of people drop it very quick. But what YouTube video did you watch? Was it Quinn's Ideas? Did he have a video, or is it something else? He makes a lot of videos, so
I'd have to actually pull it up. But okay, what I just searched for is Three Body Problem books or Three Body Problem series or something like that, and I knew I didn't want to watch the Netflix. I wanted a quick, brief overview of the whole bloody thing, and like within like 15 minutes, I was starting to get pissed off, and I was pissed off at the one of the main characters. This is like a what's the word? It's a large cast. No,
ensemble.
Thank you. Yeah, this is really an ensemble book, and I was aggravated. Like, how could this person do this and throw the rest of humanity under the bus? And we'll talk about that, but I'll save that for later. But yeah, so I had to get outraged and pissed off, and then also heard about some of the good hard science fiction problems that are going to be attempted to be solved in this story.
Yeah. I'll briefly talk about how I got into it. So I actually started with the Tencent version. So I'll give a brief about that in case people don't know, but China's already made a show out of this book. Netflix is second. About a year and a half ago, the Chinese show aired. So they've also covered book one. Book two will come out probably next year. I think every other year, like every year we'll get a three body. We'll get season one, season two. So there's every year we have something to look forward to. But that show, very long, very slow, much more like the book in that regard. But I found the concept so fascinating that I stuck around on it. And then I, after it ended, I had to go read the books. And I read all three books. And then I now I'm watching the Netflix show. So
sweet. You spoiled the Netflix show by watching those other things, Mark. See, you you like spoilers too. Mark's the most careful, like, oh, we don't want to spoil people kind of guy. He's like, oh, he's very protective of the audience. So he worries a lot. It keeps him up night. Oh, how are we going to do this without spoiling it? I'm like, just, you know, people forget.
You have no idea how much I want to talk about the third book.
Wow.
I'll be like 4 years.
Oh my goodness. Maybe. Yeah, it could be. Wow. That'll be interesting. Where am I going to be in 4 years? Okay, cool. So this is a story where the Earth people, it's a first contact story, and where the Earth people are hanging out, doing their thing. And there's this, this Chinese woman named Ye Wenjie. She's upset because in her past, her dad got killed by the government. And, so she's upset. Right. And anyways, she makes contact with the aliens because she happens to have a SETI job. So the Chinese are, they have a big radar dish and they discovered a way to magnify the signal much more than anybody else has tried before. And which now this part, I don't know if this is real science or not, but they use the sun to
I think that was made amplify. I'm not a solar scientist, so I can't say, but
it doesn't quite ring a bell. I don't know how that would work,
but I feel like people would be trying to send signals to the sun all the time if that were the case.
And so then she gets a signal and she does a response. And I don't want to say everything yet. Mm. So I want to give you a chance to spoil the audience as well. So what do you want to talk about within what I described here?
Well, as a book reader, I'll just drop in like little notes every now and then, but like Netflix leaves out some details because they like to rush the first book, I think, to get to the big set pieces. And one of my favorite things about this is like the reason why China has this SETI program in the books is because they, or at least in the Tencent version, sometimes I get them confused, but they want to contact aliens to help them win the Cold War. Like they're like, we can't let the Americans contact the aliens first, or they might use them to defeat us in the Cold War, you know? And it's just like funny to think that aliens would care.
Was in the 1960s, I think.
1967, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
She's working there and she gets this signal from, she doesn't get the signal. She actually sends out the signal because she figures out how to amplify the signal using the sun. And then she just goes up along her day, right? She did her thing. And then 8 years later, she gets a response.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. It was 8 years later.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because it's like 1975 or something.
Right.
And, or 1977. It might've been like a little bit longer, like 9 years or something.
Yeah. Right.
And the response is very chilling. It's an alien race, but the alien is telling them, don't respond because we'll conquer you if you do.
Yeah. An individual of the race. Yes.
So one of the big themes in this series that I really like is how an individual can change the course of history. So Ye Wenjie does this when she contacts the aliens, right? She completely changes the course of history. But the Tricelerin, we'll get onto it.
Yeah, that's what they're called. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Netflix viewers won't know them by that name. But
I'm sorry.
They're Santiran, yeah. In Netflix, they don't translate it, yeah.
Good point.
So he basically responds saying he doesn't want the Earth to be conquered because he thinks it's beautiful because it's stable and everything, and we'll get to that. But so he tries to prevent us from responding. And so he almost changes the course of history too, right, as an individual. So this happens a lot throughout this year.
Hold on, I got to pause you on this because you know more than the movie, but you're saying that individual actually knows what Earth looks like when he says it's
beautiful? He knows that it's only surrounding one sun. So he knows it must be a paradise and that he believes his planet is like super totalitarian and evil, and but it's because they live in such a harsh environment. He doesn't want to destroy like a paradise where he believes like humans must be living like this perfect life, you know, with no problems.
Yeah.
it's very interesting. And the fact that it takes 8 years for the signal to come back tells you about how far away the Santi system is, which is 40 light years. And that's the reason they can't respond. So just receiving the signal, they know what direction we're in, but they don't know how far. But if we respond and it takes 8 years for it to come back around, they know we're 4 light years away. And then they know where Earth is. And that's why they don't explain that in the Netflix one, but that's how they would know. That's why she can't respond. But she responds anyways.
What do you mean she can't respond? You did, by the way.
Or like, if she responds, they'll know where she's at. They'll know where Earth is. Just one signal wasn't enough to deduce where Earth is at.
I see.
Because they just know it's coming from this general direction, yeah. But they don't know how far away it is. But the response time
will
tell them it's 4 light years away.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I didn't pick up on any of that. So that's either from the book reading or you paid better attention.
Yeah. Netflix doesn't go into these details, but the book will talk about these kind of science details and everything.
It's the 22nd century. And although there's no faster-than-light drive, governments and religious organizations fund voyages by giant ships that spend multiple generations in voyage to Earth-like exoplanets. Young Arcady feels blessed to be born aboard the ship when he did, because the ship will soon reach its destination, and it will happen during his lifetime. But he's heartbroken that instead of being trained as a pilot, he is stuck training to be a farmer, because those skills are more important for creating their civilization and completing the abandonment of Earth and the troubles they left behind. But once their ship makes planetfall, the strife left behind a millennia ago resurfaces, starting with the murder of his sister. After the mysterious disappearance of other generation ships, Arcady, now an officer of the Space Force, suspects that someone close to him is killing his people. This murder investigation space opera is a novelette by Lancer Kind, and it's called Memories Victims. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's Nook. We've got the goodies, and they're in the show notes. So if you're using a podcast player, they show up right there in the user interface for easy peasy access. But hey, if you didn't use a podcast player and you downloaded the MP3 from a website, go back to the website and you will see on that page the show notes. And there you will see links to the three-body problem, some more information about Kineo, and anything else that we could drum together, like some science background on the three-body problem, and whatever the other thing we dreamed up. Next episode, Mark and I continue discussing Netflix's The Three-Body Problem. So there we are, folks. This is like a first contact. One person started it by answering the phone or sending out the signal, then answering the phone call. She knows, I guess, Mark, you're of the frame that maybe she thinks she's helping. I actually think she's lying to herself, and she knows it deep in her core. And that, or at least she did something that's really egregious. And so you could think about this. Like, if you could imagine doing something against the entire human race and then keeping it secret until when? How long did she keep it secret?
40 years later. Yeah. Well, I mean, other than people within the organization she creates, but they managed to keep the organization and the contact secret for like 40 years.